Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree. Joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Get more than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, baby, I'm just human. Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another Real Talk with New Order series, broadcasting live every third Tuesday of the month, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are honored to have the New Order family here in attendance. So we're going to get right into the program. And phone number for y'all to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press the number one with your questions or your comments. I know our brother Gerald sends his regards. He has some business to take care of in Ohio. I'm sure that the family's going to get into that. So we have on the line waiting to direct the channel and the flow of the program, brother Greg Giles, who is the personal advisor and also the treasurer for New Order National Human Rights Organization. Without any further ado, it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some, present to others. First time here on Do the Knowledge Radio, Real Talk with New Order series on. Brother Greg Giles is in the building.
All right, how's it going, everybody? Hope everybody's had a wonderful day. Thanks again for DCK Radio with Knowledge Born Allah for allowing us to actually present ourselves, New Order Real Talk. Right here is where we actually give real issues and try to find real solutions. I'm your host once again, Greg Giles, personal advisor and treasurer for New Order Human Rights Organization. And for those that don't know exactly what New Order is, or that is new to this organization, New Order is a nonprofit human rights organization for the people with no regards to the race, creed, color, or religion. We strive to assist all individuals and businesses. New Order's involvement in human rights began in 1992 in Toledo, Ohio, when Mr. Gerald Rose, founder and the president, started his organization with inspiration from his father, Floyd Rose, who was also a civil rights activist that fought right alongside Martin Luther King. And right now, we want to go ahead and see who's on the line. Can some of our callers announce themselves?
I see we have a lot of callers on the line. So again, callers, if you have questions, if you have comments, if you want to add into this Real Talk with New Order conversation, you have to press the number one, and we will bring you on the line. We have a caller calling in to area code 404-980 and also area code 318-413.
Okay, great. Hello, Carla, are you on the line?
Hello, yes, how are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing wonderful over here with New Order. How you doing? We're going to speak a little.
Hello?
Yes,
we hear you.
Yeah, this is Christy with New Order, National Human Rights Organization. I'm the Executive Secretary with Gerald Rose. How are y'all?
How are you
doing, Christy? Nice to talk to you again. We're doing great.
It's good to talk to you guys again as well.
All right.
So who else is on the line? I heard two voices.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Tanisha Brown of Ferguson. I just work with Mr. Giles, actually, with EPA. With his Elite Phoenix of America, Inc.
Well, how you doing, girl?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, glad to have you calling in. And we definitely want to go ahead and have you stay on and listen because we got some important topics to discuss tonight.
All right, okay. We have one more caller calling in from area code 404-632. So I know we have a lot of voices, so if you do speak, please announce yourself one more time so the callers can know and the listeners can know who's who. Okay?
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
All
right. Good evening. It's Anna Quiñones, National Secretary of Youth and Education. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Good,
Anna.
Miss
how
Anna.
Are you doing?
Hey, I'm
Anna.
Good. How are all of y'all? Hey.
Hello.
All right.
Well, the first thing that we have any more callers on the line?
No, we're good right now, Greg. So you can take it off and go wherever you want to go.
All right. I appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight with Real Talk, New Order, where we actually try to find solutions to a lot of real problems and situations that are going on in America today. The first topic that I really want to get into is the situation with Tatiana Jefferson. If everybody's not familiar with that case, Tatiana Jefferson was killed in her home by a white policeman named Aaron Dean in Fort Worth, Texas. And we have a lot of issues that are going on with that simply because of the fact that she was alone in her home with her nephew, who was 8 years old, playing video games, when a concerned neighbor called in because they seen that her door was open, left open from 10 o'clock until 2:30 a.m. and thought that there might be something going on. So he called the police to do a welfare check. But yet, when the police got there, they treated it like a SWAT situation, came in there and shot and killed that young lady. There has to be something that we could possibly do to help this situation. Do we have any callers that want to chime in on this situation?
Yes, I will. My name is Christy Marshall. Again, I'm an executive assistant with Mr. Gerald Rose. I was highly upset with this case, and I saw the video itself, and it really upset me because as a single woman living in my houses, and, if someone calls to check on me because they're concerned, not only do I need to be concerned with my community or something happening, now I need to be concerned that if a police officer come and check on me, he's going to shoot and kill me because he's walking around my house as a predator himself, you know, not even announcing who he is, not even announcing what's going on, but then he want to shoot first and ask questions later. How unsafe is that? And I feel as though that, you know, too many times we feel like we have to forgive people. Just like in a case with the other lady, they want to give him a hug and say, give the lady a hug and say, we forgive you. Yeah, we can forgive you. But sometimes, y'all, we need to stand up and quit trying to be forgiven all the time. And we can forgive people for what they're doing, but they still need to pay for their actions.
So I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Simply because of the fact that that gives them a little bit more ammunition to keep doing what they're doing, knowing that the only consequence for them doing their actions is for them to just apologize. How hard is it to just apologize for doing something that you know is totally wrong and evil?
And now on top of that, she only got 5. She got 10 years, but only have to serve 5. I know drug dealers that serving 79 years to life because they had drugs. And it's a sad thing that even though they commit this murder, and we're going to call it what it is, commit murder and get away with it because we're black, because it's an African-American that you killed. Had it been the opposite, had it been a black police officer and a white woman, we wouldn't even be discussing. We'll be talking about how they're doing him wrong in jail right now.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. And while I got you on the line, since we brought up that Amber Geiger situation, what do you think about what would happen to the witness, Joshua Brown, who actually got killed a couple of days right after the sentencing of Amber Geiger?
Oh, my gosh. When I read that and saw that, and I actually saw the video of the meeting where the community was trying to come and have a civil meeting, and they was trying to shut the meeting down early, and the uproar that happened, and they was trying to deny these people the right to speak and to say how they felt to the officers. Now, there's no excuse in this witness being killed. I don't care how you covered up. I don't care how you decorated. It don't matter what they saying. It's something, like my grandma said, if it's something stank, it's a dead cat on the line somewhere. And it's a dead cat on the line. It ain't no way that this witness, now after they file a civil suit, all of a sudden now he's deceased, he's been killed. Y'all, come on. We already know. We smell the roses. We know what's going on. It ain't something that just happened. And then for her to get off the way she did, and for the judge to come and hug her, and the brother to come and hug her like she didn't do something wrong, had it been the other way around, I promise you, we wouldn't have gotten no hug. They would have threw
definitely
a book at us.
And then, because there's another case that actually I noticed that there was a young black lady that when she was sentenced to 20 years, the only thing that she even asked for was to just give her mother a hug, and the judge denied that. So I know that that doesn't really happen to African-Americans in a court of law these days. And there are a lot of other things, too, that they actually did to Joshua Brown, even after he was deceased. They tainted his image simply because of the fact that right after his death, they said that it was drug-related, and also brought up a criminal history that was non-existent before, at least that I hadn't heard of it before the end of the Amber Geiger trial, which I thought was kind of suspicious anyway. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
I would like to go back to your original question with
okay.
this case if Fort Hood. I thought it was in Dallas. But Fort Hood, Texas. My thing is, the first thing I'm watching on the news is that she had a weapon in the house. Now, mind you, we all know Texas is a carry state, you know, so that it's okay to have weapons, you know, even at Walmart, where it isn't in other states. This was the first thing that was being brought onto the news. Why, you know, she was minding her own business, playing video games, weather's probably cooling down, probably wanted the door open. Why is this a problem? And then what rings with me is this police officer, or the neighbor, who on the news says, I'm afraid to even call the police. And I think that's a lot of people right now today in America. They're afraid to call the police because of things like this that can happen, you know? So...
Exactly. And one thing that we can actually start doing about that is actually start trying to police ourselves, which means that we can, you know, we have to be accountable for our own actions and also for our other family members' actions. And we can look out for our neighbors, which means that, you know, a lot of the times the police wouldn't be called only for severe issues and matters that are more extreme than we can actually deal with ourselves. I know that back in the day, we used to do that as a neighborhood and a collaboration. That's why they said it takes a village to raise a child, because back then, the whole neighborhood looked out for your child. They whooped your child, they chastised your child, and they made sure that child was not doing things that he or she was not supposed to. And I think we need to get back to those times when we actually looked out for each other and actually respected each other's life and livelihood.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. And do we have any other callers that want to chime in on that that issue? Okay. Are there any callers that want to actually give us any type of solutions that we could actually, if there was any way to prevent a situation like this, or if you are in a situation like this, what steps should you do to try to prevent, you know, something happen to you or one of your loved ones?
See, I think the problem with this is, I'll give you an example, the case in Texas, she never even had an opportunity. She never even got a second to see who it was. If somebody's at your window, you know, telling you, this is the police, my understanding was, something wasn't said or another that had to be said. If anybody's first reaction is to look out your window, this, you're talking about somebody in their home. This isn't a public place. You're in your home. So what can you do? What solutions can be made when you're not even given the opportunity? Even ask who is there. You know, we don't have an option at this point.
Exactly. And that's the sad part about it, when you don't have an option and, you know, the system is against you in this situation. So that is something definitely that just lets us know that there's a breakdown in the police system itself, that a lot of things that needs to be changed for politics and policies.
Yeah, and then you think to yourself, okay, the officer was, okay, so he was fired or whatever, he quit. Okay, so then he's charged with murder. But what's going to happen once we go to court? He's what, going to get 5 or 10 years and have to do half of that time? And meanwhile, this person was killed in their own home. And this is just, it's just something that happens over and over and over and over again. There comes a point where enough is enough. And I think a lot of America is there. Enough, you know? So.
And I have to agree with Anna. You know, I can't even imagine what more different or what can be a resolve or what can be a solution. Because, again, you're at your house. You're not expecting no one. You're seeing flashlights. And so you check your window, and, bam, you're shot. So I myself am puzzled at what could be the solution to that. You know, she wasn't armed. She wasn't dangerous. She was checking out her window to make sure, you know, that seeing what was going on. And the officer didn't identify himself, didn't give her a chance to respond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we teach our young men, if you ever get pulled over by a police officer, put your hand on the wheel. But, okay, you put your hand there, and then they drag you out and beat you, then what? I mean, what is the resolve? The resolve is to teach our white officers to not to be, you know, you can't teach, you know, you can only tell them, hey, you stop being racist. I mean, stop hating, stop profiling, mm-hmm. stop, you know, automatically assuming that all black people are dangerous. I mean, those are some behaviors that they have to deal with. And if they can't deal with it, they don't need to be police officers. But it's like you're saying, Ms. Anna, I'm tired of it over and over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And yet when they go to trial, there is no justice that match the crime that they do, you know. So, you know, at the same time, I really believe that the crime shouldn't match the punishment. 5 years for taking somebody's, you know, somebody from their child, from their mother, from their family is not enough, especially when it was done out of hate.
Exactly, exactly. And for a lot of the callers that might have just chimed in, this is New Order Human Rights Activist Group with Real Talk with New Order. If anyone has any issues or knows somebody that has issues that they might want to talk to us about, the 1-800 number for them to call is 1-800-346-5138. I'm going to slow it down for you now. 1-800-346-5138. For those that might need some of our assistance from New Order Human Rights Activist Group. And do we have any more questions on that issue right there? There's another thing I want to bring up, too, that she probably never even seen the police officer simply because of the fact that if you've ever been in your home at nighttime and you have your lights on inside of your house, it is very hard to see what is outside very clearly simply because of the fact that you have your lights on the inside. So she probably only seen a flash of light in her window and probably looked up to try to see what it was and then got shot. So that was still not yeah. good because she couldn't see exactly if it was a burglar or a policeman, especially since he never even identified himself as a policeman in that situation. And then to sort of keep from getting fired, he went ahead and resigned. But still, they went ahead and I think they pressed charges against him for murder, in which they should have, simply because that was just cold-blooded murder. There's no way that lady should be deceased right now. She should still be enjoying her life.
Right. But then at the same time, we still have to look, even though he is charged with murder, what happens when the judge come down and give him a hug and decides that he doesn't need to serve as much time?
Yeah.
You know, and what about her family? What about, you know, and all over a well check? I mean, you're talking about a well check. There wasn't even a situation going on in that house. And this is Anna from New Order. And there wasn't even a situation going on in the house besides, like I said, think about it. The weather's changing. She might have been wanting her house to freshen up. You know, and, you know, cut off the air or whatever, you know, it's neither here nor there. The point is she didn't have the opportunity to, because I know that if there's a light flashing at my house through one of my windows, my reaction's to look to see what that is. I'm going to think it's probably more likely a burglar, not a police officer. And see, that's where I think, you know, what would possess, I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, even if he's resigned, okay, you resigned. Okay, you're charged with murder. But what's going to happen on your trial? Same thing as happens to everyone else. They either get acquitted or whatever. It's just not, something has to give and something has to change. Period. You know, it's too much.
And I totally agree with that. Go ahead.
This is Christy with New Order, or better yet, they're going to try to portray him as a great officer or a great guy, and, you know, he didn't mean to do it. You know, anytime they do anything wrong, they're the good old boys, and they just made a mistake. But had it been the other way around, let's say that she saw the person, she grabbed her gun and shot him. Then they'll try to find everything in her background and say that she's an ugly person. And then she'll be in jail right now, charged with murder for him, and saying that she killed a cop. So
exactly.
It's a double standard in law.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And didn't you see that scenario once it goes to court, when they start crying and then they try to get the sympathy from the judge and from the jury, which normally turns everything around and they end up finding them not guilty. But we definitely do not want that to happen in these situations these days.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Anybody else on the line want to chime in on that conversation before we go to the next topic? Okay, our next topic is this white cop that was just found not guilty in shooting the naked man, that was here in DeKalb County. The officer's name was Robert Olson. This happened in October the 14th. He was found not guilty of murdering Anthony Hill in March of 2015, who was an Army veteran. But he was found guilty of lying under oath and making false statements. The judge in that case was Letitia Deer Jackson, which gave him an $80,000 bond and only gave him an ankle monitor, which is only going to start until November the 1st. I think there's a lot of things that are going on with that, a lot of issues. First of all, since this guy was an Army veteran, I don't know if he was going over having post-traumatic stress, which a lot of veterans do have, and needed some counseling. There's one thing that I do believe that if you know somebody that's going through issues and that can't handle the situation mentally, you should definitely try to get them to some type of help or take them to see somebody that can talk to them and get them helping what they're dealing with, their issues and stuff, because this young man was out there naked, running around, had taken off all his clothes. And a lot of times, that's mostly what you hear about when you're dealing with people that are doing drugs, that are on drugs, or they're just high, or out of their mind or something. But this time it was a guy who was dealing with a lot of stressful issues, an Army veteran, that was killed. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that the officer was right in shooting this guy, the guy was unarmed and didn't have any weapons on him. He could clearly see that because he didn't have any clothes on. But, me and my own personal judgment, I don't think that the officer should have shot him at all. He shouldn't have even used a taser. The man didn't show any sign of that he was going to, hurt him in any way, he might have been a little, it might have been a little weird that the guy was naked, but a lot of times they can handle that situations like that without, actually using any type of violence. Anybody want to chime in on that situation?
This is Anna. I've seen videos on social media that have other people who are not war vets just joking around, running around back and forth, police officers running behind them. They were not shot. They were not tased. So, again, I think a lot of these officers also need to be treated for mental disorder, and they may very well have an issue. A mental issue, and I think there has to be something different because, and I believe this is things that have been going on for many years, and we're just seeing it more now because of social media and the news and the cameras and the cell phones, because before it wasn't, you heard of it, but it wasn't as seen, and I just think that it was excessive. Now, this was a person who fought for this country, and that's the respect that we show him. Not saying what he did was right. I'm not saying that. But obviously, he was going through mental distress. And this can happen to any of us, any of us at any given time. So then what? I don't agree with any of the steps that we're taking.
Right.
And also, to bring up the situation with mental illness and also dealing with drugs, we've been fighting to actually make the police officers around this country actually take drug tests, because I actually think that a lot of them are on the duty, on the job, driving around in these cars and harassing these people, and they're high out of their mind. They've caught a lot of the policemen and police women out here that are actually doing drugs on the job, that are soliciting prostitutes on the job. So, you know, of course, nobody's perfect. But these things, you know, when you're a policeman, you're held to a higher standard than everyone else.
Exactly.
So that means that, not saying that, you know, that nobody's perfect, but you know, these are things that should be accounted for. So when they time and time again oppose even taking drug tests, to me that's like a telltale sign that a lot of them are doing it. What do you guys think? That, do you guys know of any policemen or policewomen that have been known to take drugs while they're actually on the job?
This is Anna again. Hey, Christy, go ahead.
This is Christy with New Order. And I just want to comment before about the officer. Number one, I feel like that officer was not trained to handle behavior issues. You know, there are behavior issues that come into play. You know, people have mental issues, behavior issues, but they all don't need to die. They don't deserve to get shot. You know, they don't deserve to have none of those things going on. And then to answer your question, do I know of some officers that may have done drugs? I believe so. I believe that there are some that are doing drugs. I believe there are some that are soliciting prostitutes on the job. I believe those are harassing harassing people because of the things that they're doing. So, you know, it's a sad state that we are in, because our officers are meant to protect. Our officers are meant to serve. You know, officers are meant to give aid and help when there is no aid and help. And too many times when you come across an officer, it's not for that. It's to hurt. It's to kill. You know, it's sad that we don't have that trust in our officers like we need to have, you know, to be able to, hey, you know, I'm going to call them because I need help. You're afraid to, because you don't know what they're going to do to you, whether you're having someone that's having a mental breakdown. You know, they're supposed to be able to train to handle such situations, to be able to calm that person down, to get them to go into the precinct and not to be worried about if they're going to be raped or worry about if they're going to be beaten or worry about any of that stuff. And we don't have that today. We don't have that safety at all, or trust in our police officers. Not all the bad, but we have 90 bad and 10 good. The bad outweigh the good.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think that, you know, we need to start protecting our own, because things like they have no respect for the human life nowadays. I mean, their thing is to shoot first and ask questions last, which is totally opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. That's not how they train these officers, and a lot of them don't even care. A lot of them are setting people up in situations to actually shoot them, you know, and that's another notch in their belt, you know, for those that are, you know, a part of the, you know, racial empathy force, you know, the KKK is concerned. Another thing that actually bothers me about the other situation is that, you know, there are a lot of things that go on inside, you know, a policeman's mind when he's out there police in the streets. A lot of times you have police officers that have a good heart but are under a lot of pressure from their chiefs to actually make these arrests or make give out these tickets. I mean, I don't think that they should be up under that much stress. If you're not doing anything, I don't think that they should even, you know, stop you unless they're just asking you. And we have to hold judges accountable for the judgments that they make on the bench, because, you know, we can witness something, but we're afraid to say something about these judges that are giving these guys 20, 30, 40, 50 years to life for these little small offenses such as marijuana and other things of that nature, simply because of the fact that, you know, back in the day when all of our women and children and men were being arrested and given 20, 30 year sentences for simple marijuana charges, now the government is doing it And they're saying that they're doing it to pay the bills, to cut down the deficit. But, you know, to me, it's like, you know, it's like a double-edged sword, you know. It's good for them to do it, but it's not okay for us to do it. So, I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that has to be changed. But I think one thing that we have to change, you know, along with changing the system with policing our neighborhoods, is that, you know, holding all of these judges accountable for their judgments and their actions on the bench.
I agree. And one thing I wanted to add on to it, that you asked the question, do we know anybody who does drugs or, you know, does anything they're not supposed to do? I'd actually seen an investigative report here in the state of Georgia. I'm in Georgia, where police officers, now, you know, these are supposed to be law-abiding, going by the law. You know, officers had been accused of rape, had been accused of using excessive force, have been fired out of other agencies for doing things they weren't supposed to do, and they were actually getting hired in different, you know, counties. And believe it or not, working with our children in school.
Wow.
And this is in the county that I currently live in. And this was about a year and a half ago, which makes you think, how many of them are there out there? And I'm not saying every police officer is bad, because I have family that's some of the best and most honest police officers you'll ever meet. You know, it's not about that. It's about these bad apples. What are we going to do as a nation to help get these bad apples out of there? Because who wants a rapist working around their children? Somebody accused of rape. I mean, seriously, it's no joke. So, you know, and excessive force, and then you're using excessive force with our children. I mean, it's just something to think about. I don't personally know anybody, you know, but I do know of these officers in particular who were then relieved of their duty. But it was only because a parent brought in a red flag because their child was being followed by a police officer in a sexual manner.
Wow.
So
wow.
That makes you think, how many others do this? And that's what I'm saying. A lot of them maybe need mental help while you're saying, or you're talking about this military ex-war veteran that was running around naked and, you know, falls into this situation. You know, so that's okay because of his situation, or it's not okay. But it is okay for you to do this to little girls, you know, because you work for the law, you're better than anybody. I don't think so, and I don't agree with it, you know, and more of us need to stand up and fight, you know, and fight for all of our rights, because it's not right.
Mm-hmm. You're definitely right about that. It's definitely not right. And for those that are still tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with New Order, and we're talking about serious situations going on in America tonight that we need to address and we need to find solutions for, so that we can better our communities and have a bright future. One other thing that concerns me is that the issue of all of the missing children that are coming up recently. It just saddens me to hear about, you know, like every day there's a different child coming up missing, you know, around the country and stuff in different states. It's not actually just not one particular area. It's everywhere. And I think these parents need to, you know, it's hard to watch your children 24 hours a day, but we definitely need to, you know, try to be aware of where they're going, who they're talking to, who their friends are, in case they're actually linking up with people that know them. Do any of the parents on the line have any suggestions on how we can actually try to keep our kids safe out here on the streets while we're busy away working or doing other things? Remember, everyone, if you want to chime in, press 1 to be linked in so that we can hear your comments.
All right, Brother Greg, you have a phone caller calling in. Two callers, actually. Area code 404-451. And also area code 678-571. We're both live.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Giles. How are you all doing?
Hey, we're doing wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
This is Leonard Jones.
There you
Leonard
go.
Jones, how you doing?
Hey, Leonard.
There you
we
go.
Had
hey, Mr. Leonard.
Hey, how are you all doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We had some technical difficulties at our other Real Talk show this evening, so I thought I'd listen and give you all a call.
Okay, great. Did you want to chime in on any of the other issues that we talked about? Did you hear the end of the issues that we talked about earlier, Louis?
I think I just caught on to you all talking about what we need to do as a community to get things changed.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Exactly.
I think a lot of people really don't understand how important it is to be a part of some organization or some collective in your very own community to at least deal with what's going on right around you. That's the first issue. For the very simple fact, we see a lot of people, it's easy to look at the national stories that get national attention, but the things that you're going to be most effective at are those things in your very own community. And it starts off, Ms. Anna, correct?
Yes.
That was talking about one of the things that we have to do, and the reason why you hear about these things is because there's no rule in place. There's no rule that says you can't do certain things. As simple as mm-hmm. it may seem like good sense that, hey, police officers should not be having sex with the people that they've arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes sense to people who are not police, because there are stories, just as Ms. Anna was mentioning, where police officers are having sex with individuals in their custody, as well as mm-hmm. underage individuals in the community, and those types mm-hmm. of things. And what happens is there's not an outlet for people in the community to voice these opinions. Everyone has a city council that they should be meeting at. If you have an issue with what officers are doing in your community, you say, for instance, I'm here in Covington, Georgia. I'm not going to go to my city council meeting to talk about what's going on in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be talking about what's going on in Covington. If police officers are getting away with certain things in other places, all it takes is for a bold idiot with a badge to do it in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start to engage law enforcement. We shouldn't always wait for something to happen. We must be down at the city councils where we don't have citizens review boards. We must be down at those city councils demanding that the community have some oversight on the behavior of individuals licensed to kill them for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very important for people to understand that concept. And we saying, you know, there are some good officers, and it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It is about what they allow on the police force. I sat on the board of criminal justice for a particular university. One of the issues why there's so many vacancies in law enforcement, even going through criminal justice programs and law enforcement programs, they're finding they have the same problems: alcoholism, domestic violence, drug use. This is before they even apply to be a police officer. So what we have to demand from mayors who appoint police chiefs is to make sure they're held accountable for the decisions and what they're allowing to go on in their cities. You don't usually elect a police chief. It's appointed by the mayor. If you are really concerned about what's happening, you need to be sending a letter to your mayor, going to have a meeting with your mayor directly about his considerations on these issues, because it could happen anywhere.
You're definitely right, Atlanta. And I think there's another issue that I want to try to cover while we're on here, is that if anybody has heard about the two Chicago mothers that were activists that were working to stop the gun violence in Chicago, Chantel Grant, who was 25, and an Andrea Stoudmire, who was 35, they had an organization called Mothers Against Senseless Killings, and they were just shot, you know, this weekend, you know, right, in Chicago, you know, and then the same weekend, we also had 48 other people that were shot, with nine of them being severely killed. And that's one thing I want to bring up, that you know, saying this particular work that we do for New Order, with New Order and other organizations that are fighting around the country to better our communities, it's not easy. You know, when we get out on the street, you know, saying we have to face, we have to be the face for the faceless and be the mouth for the people that are scared to speak up about the rights being violated around the world. So, I mean, you know, with those two Chicago mothers actually working to help stop gun violence and actually get killed by gun violence, oh, my God, that is just terrible. Has anybody else heard about that situation?
You're saying the two ladies in Chicago, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I vaguely, I briefly, this is Anna, New Order. I briefly read something about it, but there isn't much that I've seen on the news. I try to keep up with the news, and I had not seen anything, you know. Since then, I saw one article, and I'm not sure, it might have been you that shared it, Greg. I did briefly see something, but it makes you wonder if people that are actually stepping up and doing the right thing, if somebody doesn't like that, and that's not good enough for them, and they feel it's a threat. It makes you wonder, you know. And again, I don't have the full details on exactly what happened. I just, you know, like I said, briefly read a short article on it. So, but I am aware of what you're speaking of.
Okay, is anybody else familiar with that issue and want to chime in on it? Elena, did you have anything else?
I did see the story. And, you know, it goes along with what we have talked about with other individuals, and this is why New Order partners with so many other different types of organizations. Whereas, you know, we're out here protesting about this, that, and the other. But what we also have to understand is it's time to make sure that we are headed in the right direction. This is so terrible because it lets you know, not only do we have to deal with the blatant racism, mental health is out of control in African-American communities, especially the one that they continue to put on the news, like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And what's most important for people to understand about Chicago is it has always fed the notion and been a model for violence in this country. So we're not going to act like it just started here with gangs and the predominantly African-American gangs and Latinos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Violence has been a part of Chicago's history forever. And now they're focusing on these incidents. However, they're being lost because people are not truly understanding what is the problem. As we mentioned with New Order, we just don't go out and get in the way and protest and racist issues. We will call our own to turn themselves in, to change their ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to partner with organizations that specialize in mental health, the resources that are already available in the community, especially in predominantly communities with a lot of poverty. The majority of the services that need to be provided are free, simply because you may be receiving Medicaid or Medicare for whatever reasons, if you're disabled or what have you. With every check that goes out, there's a social worker involved that is supposed to be responsible for making sure that individuals in the community know what resources are available. We have to partner with the churches and all those people in the community that actually want things to change. Because believe it or not, there are people in our community that like it just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they look just like us. And this is so sad for two women. First of all, to be out there unprotected on such an issue, who have lost children to these types of violence, so much that they've started a group. Now some predator kills
mm-hmm.
them while they're doing this righteous work. So we have to take it all serious, not just when the other side is white. It's whenever we see something, a predominantly phenomenon going on in our communities, like homicide. And then, like we mentioned before, you know, even without knowing all the details, these women were activists in their community trying to stop violence, and they are killed by members of that community. So this is why we try to work with the – I know here in Atlanta, we work with the Beloved Community and Pastor Slaughter and try to work and have events where people can come and talk, get things out, and maybe you don't know who may come to your local meeting. If you just have to use – ask a church, can you have some – borrow some space one evening, or a public library that rents their public rooms just to get people out who need help, to let them know about the resources available. Because we're talking about what are we going to do, what are we going to do. We have to get connect the dots between our people and the resources. And then again, we have to take it a step further and assist law enforcement of removing individuals from the community who could care less about what is going on. The types of people that shoot two female activists.
Mm-hmm.
These are not your friends no more than the regular KKK would be. And so we have to look at the threats. Where are they coming from? We highlight Chicago a lot. We highlight Baltimore and things like that. But there are some places simply because they don't have the numbers to make national news. You would be amazed at what their homicide rates are. I come from a city who have occupied the number one spot in homicides. Right down the street, the second and third place city. So we know exactly what is going on. It's just that each one of us reaching out and trying to get people together who want to deliver the resources and services to the people. And we have to vote to make sure that the people in office making the decisions care about these issues.
Sure.
Okay, great. I want to go ahead and just announce this, the call-in number for the show again. It's 929-477-1755. and you're calling into New Order, Real Talk with New Order. We're here with our host, which is me for today, Greg Giles. And we have our president, Gerald Rose, who's not here right now. He's actually in Toledo, Ohio, dealing with an issue there in Ohio, in Lucas County, with a sexual assault with an inmate that they're investigating up there. So there are a lot of stuff going on, not just here in Atlanta and not just here in Georgia, but around the country, that we are trying to stay on top of and in researching and investigating as we speak. Do anybody else have any other topics that they want to bring up or issues that we need to address? One thing that I know that I wanted to bring up is that I've been noticing an influx of issues that are going with mothers and fathers abusing and also killing their own kids. People putting their kids in the oven and crazy things of that nature. And I don't know exactly, you know, what to think of it, because I would never, ever think about hurting my kids in a manner such as that. You know, I know that they have to be dealing with some type of stress or something going on with them mentally, but to kill your kids, you know, I could never do it. Does anyone know of any other cases that that have come up recently about, you know, parents actually abusing their own kids?
Greg, can you make sure, because I think there was one more person that was online. I'm sorry that I'm interrupting. I think there was two people online. One was Leonard, and there might have been somebody else.
Is there somebody else on the line that would like to chime in?
Hi, how are you all?
How are you doing?
Hello. This is Kiera. I just wanted to real quick, just you talked briefly about like the missing children and stuff. And I noticed a lot of times, like, that I see stuff all the time and I'll repost it like on social media and stuff like that. I saw something that mentioned, you know, the parents being responsible for the kids and things like that. Well, a lot of times these kids don't have parents, or the parents are too busy or doing something else and not paying attention mm-hmm. to their kids. So I just feel like it's our job as parents, not just to our children, but even when we're in public and we see children, to just open our eyes and ears a little bit more to pay attention to what's going on around us. Sometimes I see, you know, adults with their heads down in their phones more than I see the kids. But I've seen certain situations where, you know, a child might be with an adult and it just don't look right. So, you know, I might say something to, you know, the security at the store, like, keep an eye on this situation. I don't know the situation personally, but I would hate to leave, you know, out of the store or wherever and not have said anything and then see that child pop up on my social media page. And then, you know, another thing too, a lot of teenagers in particular, you know, they don't know how to engage. You say hello to them or, you know, something like that just in passing, and they looking at you like you crazy because they not used to having people just speak to them out of courtesy. So I try to practice that as well. But a lot of us just don't pay attention anymore. Like, you know, when I was growing up, and you two may be able to attest that, you know, when I was growing up, everybody knew me. Everybody knew my family, my mother, you know, and everything like that. But nowadays it's like you know, don't know your neighbor. You don't know the person down the street. And everybody is just too consumed in their own lives to really care about what's going on. Or they have the attitude, that's not my responsibility, that's not my child. Where if that wasn't the case and everybody kind of, you know, just looked out for each other, then, you know, it would change a lot, because, you know, people don't want to mess with nobody kids when they got, you know, an army behind them. And not to mention, you know, sex trafficking and organ harvesting and all of this stuff is going on. It's like, where are our kids? Why are they missing so much? And then what happens? What's the result after that post is, you know, put on social media. Sometimes I'll see, oh, they've been found, but a lot of times even when they've been found, it's no notification that they've been found. So I constantly see the same children reposted as missing months later, but then if you take time to, like, click the article, it'll say they were found such and such date. So I just think that just as a society, we should just slow down a little bit and pay attention.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. And you're definitely right about the kids not knowing how to interact with adults these days, because sometimes, you know, I make it a point when I go into stores and other places that I go to and restaurants to speak to people that you could tell that they're not used to people speaking to them. You know, saying, you know, mm-hmm. just to let them know that, you know, we shouldn't be standoffish to people, you know, that are the same color to us. It seemed like, you know, if someone walked up to you and spoke to you that was of the opposite race, they'd be all chipper. Hey, how are you doing? But, you know, when you walk up to them and you're the same race, like, you know, if I'm talking to another black African-American, you know, I walk up to them, hey, sir, how you doing? You know, a lot of times they'd be like, hey, do I know you? Why are you speaking to me? You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you speak to them, you know, and, you know, and you let them know you're courteous, you know, because there was one guy, though, that actually said, hey, man, you know what? I've been coming in this store for almost like 5 months, and not one person has never, ever spoke to me. You're the first person that has spoke to me since I've been coming in this store. I'm like, wow. So, you know, that's just one of those, there's a lot of work to be done.
Oh, definitely. And I think across the board, a lot of work needs to be done, no matter what color you are, because it's just people in general just are too consumed in their own circle and bubble that they just don't care what's going on outside of it until something happens.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And are there any other concerns that you may have, Kira, about what's going on or issues that we might need to address?
It's a lot, but not that I could really, like, think of right this minute. But when y'all were talking about the missing kids, that just kind of, like, stood out to me because I was on social media earlier, and I had reposted some kids that had been, you know, posted as missing. And then when I went back and checked, it said that they were found and stuff like that. But like I said, it's never a follow-up. So that's kind of, like, what stood out to me. Most, and also the police issue, feeling like that they, you know, because they are the law or above the law. For me, and I won't go too deep into this, but I've seen both sides. I have a lot of family members that are in law enforcement, but I also have, you know, a friend that's just like family, whose brother was murdered by the police, for no reason at all. No reason at all. And I'm not going to go, like I said, into that story. But if you his name is Tyrone West, and he was from Baltimore. I'm originally from Baltimore. So if you want to look it up, you can. But I just, out of respect, I don't want to mess anything up or, you know, go too deep into it. But I do know that that was the case. So, you know, I've seen it on both sides because with, you know, their family, which is like my family, I see their pain. I feel their pain. I grew up with these, you know, folks and stuff like that. So it's like crazy when you see that these police officers are doing whatever they want to do to whoever they feel like doing it to at the time. And then nothing happens. Like nothing happens. And it's like, it's mind-blowing because you see it in your face and nothing is done about it. And my friend of the brother who passed away, she, you know, she's an activist and she, you know, marches and she's out every week and, you know, doing so many things because she knows, you know, the story. She knows what happened and things like that. And she's, you know, she's fighting for accountability, you know, for these police officers to have accountability because they don't right now.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. They've been getting away with too much for too long. And, you know, it's like that old saying says, time to pay the piper. And
right.
There's a lot of things that I think that we have to be aware of, not only with the police brutality around in our nation and stuff, I think we also have to be aware of our environment, such as the climate change, you know, what's going on with these forest fires, and also with the earthquakes that are going on today, because, you know, I've read an article and I watched a video a couple of days ago about the scientists telling us that there are like hundreds of earthquakes going on around the country along the fault lines, and the government isn't actually saying anything about it simply because of the fact that they're afraid to alert the citizens of these cities simply because they feel like the people will actually start leaving the cities and will leave the where they actually depend on those people for finances,
yeah.
Yeah, so they're afraid to say something because they're afraid that these people might leave, but they're putting those people's lives in jeopardy. And another thing that we also got to be aware of, with all of the changes that are going on in America right now, you also got to have an emergency escape plan. You got to know that if something happens, whether it's a flood, such as all of before that goes out, you got to have something, an action plan, whether it's generators, backup food, supplies, flashlights, batteries, things of that nature, just in case something happens, because you never know. We're dealing with our president that's in office right now. What could happen at any time?
Right.
With us. And we got to actually be prepared to protect our family, take care of our family with food and things of that nature, and also be able to take care of them physically for us protecting them in case, you know, certain things happen.
Right.
And other things that we have to also be aware of is that they're actually these schools, I noticed that have started making a lot of rules, picking on our children as far as letting them, telling us that they can't actually come to school wearing their natural hair, or they can't actually take school pictures, such as an 8-year-old in Michigan was denied school pictures, you know, right there in Paragon Charter Academy, which is about 85 miles from Detroit. Now she couldn't take school pictures because she had a little bit of red in her hair.
Wow.
But a lot of things are going on as far as our natural hair that they're not allowing our kids to actually attend these schools, and that's another reason why we need to start homeschooling our kids, because a lot of the stuff that they're teaching in the public schools anyway, it's not what our kids really need to learn.
Well, yeah. In a lot of schools, they don't teach any type of life skills. You know, my children, they did attend public schools, but I did the work at home as well. But, you know, like I said before, some people that don't have anybody at home to do the work, you know, with them as far as life skills and things like that is concerned. But yeah, it's bad.
we definitely have to start thinking about, you know, where we get our food from with all of these things that are going on with the tainted food, chemicals in our food, the chemicals in the air.
Right.
And so we got to go back to farming. You know, we got to go back to, you know, planting seeds in the ground and growing our own food, you know, that way we can eat healthy and live long lives.
I agree. I think a couple days ago I was talking to somebody and we were talking about how, you know, like our grandparents and stuff, they didn't get sick from, you know, eating meat and things like that. They didn't get sick. They lived a long, long life. And then we were talking, you know, we were saying it's because they weren't giving the animals what they're giving them now. So it's a whole different situation. Like if you're feeding the animals junk and then humans are consuming what the animal and the junk that they are eating on top of what they're being injected with, then that's why people are getting sick from it.
Yes. We got to go back to where we came from. We got to think about, you know, why were our elders and generations before us living longer lives? Not that they had it better, but, you know, they weren't ingesting all of these chemicals in our food. They weren't breathing all of these pollutions in the air. And, you know, there's just so many things that are against us these days. That's why we got to be smart about what we do, and, you know, these days. And do we have any other callers on the line that have issues that they want to address before we actually close out?
Also, I just wanted to add, Greg, if we could, for you who are on Facebook, join a group called Inmate Matters. I know a lot of the folks here with that effort, because what we forget about a lot of times is people who are incarcerated, and we have had deaths in jails here recently that are due to sometimes neglect, lack of control and things like that in these facilities. And we have key elections coming up. The sheriff, mm-hmm. usually in your area, usually runs your jail. I know here in this county, I'll use Rockdale County, for instance, where we protested the two deaths in that jail there, which there has been also a federal complaint filed by Davis and Bozeman firm. And it relates to the policies and procedures that are not being followed in jail, specifically as they relate to people with mental conditions and things like that, those individuals who need health and medical care. Despite how you may feel about why that person is in jail, they're still human beings. And we have to do what we can to also make sure that they're not being taken advantage of, and that
yep.
these deaths are not occurring simply because we're placing lesser value on those individuals. And that's the hardest thing about these deaths. I believe there's been about 4 deaths in Cobb County jails within the past year. Someone in your community should be having a forum to ask these individuals that want to be sheriff, how do they propose to stop this from happening? When mm-hmm. we are finding evidence of direct neglect leading to the death of individuals, women who are dying, who are having babies, and they're in jail and sometimes in solitary, left to birth their babies by themselves. Regardless of what has happened, we have to make sure that we're valuing those lives of even prisoners.
That's right.
And then maybe it would make a lot of sense to people, if we're that concerned about inmates, we should be just as concerned about individuals in our community.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you, Leonard. That is definitely, an issue that we have to, address and, make sure that these inmates are important, because their lives matter just as us, the ones that are on the outside.
This is Christian with New Order. I just wanted to say, there's a lot of things I wanted to touch on real quickly. I do believe that, we have to take on some responsibility for our community being the way it is. It's not all, I agree with everybody, we have a responsibility to make our community great. We have more black-on-black crimes. We have more black-on-black stealing. We have more crawfish syndrome pulling other black people down, as well as fighting against the other, also as well as fighting against other people to try and to make a stand. Also about the schools and about teaching our kids. Yes, we have to teach our kids those life skills. We can't expect the school to teach our children what we're supposed to teach them. They're not going to teach our history. They're not going to teach the truth. They're not going to tell our children that Christopher Columbus did not discover America. They're not going to teach them that. We're going to have to take a stand and have a place where in our community where, back when I was a kid, the older women would take us in and teach us those things and teach us about Martin Luther King, teach us about Malcolm X, teach us about all these black African-American people on who discovered and who did all the inventions. We don't have that today because so many of our young people that are grandparents are barely 20 years old. So what I'm saying is we have to make our community better by first taking pride and taking control of our community. And once we take control and better our community, then we can fight everybody else as well. And then another point I want to make that about our prisoners, yes, they are people. They deserve to be treated with respect. We're dealing with a situation right now where we have a person that was sexually assaulted at the Lucas County Jail. One thing that I said and that one thing that I believe is I don't agree with his crime, I don't agree with what he did to get there, but I do not condone the way he was treated. No matter what we do in our life, if we have to go that mm-hmm. way in booking, whether we go in jail, wherever our loved one goes, they should be treated with respect. They should not be abused. Okay. They should not be beaten. They shouldn't be spit on. They should not be sexually assaulted. They should be able to put their fingerprints on that tape, on the little thing, and go to court and be able to have justice done as America was founded upon. And that's all we're asking for. All lives matter, black lives, white lives. But the only difference about black lives is we have to demand that the respect. White lives is already given. So we have to demand it in being a Black Lives Matter. Because black lives do matter, and we're the ones that are being treated ugly with the police officers and being killed. Our sons are being taken from us because of just them not doing anything wrong. So I just wanted to stand and say that, you know, our lives matter, but black lives matter because we're the ones that are being targeted the most.
All right. I thank you for that comment, and you're definitely right about that. I totally agree with you. And I also appreciate all of the listeners that joined us today. And I also like to thank that DTK Radio and Knowledge Born Allah for allowing us to present our Real Talk with New Order tonight on this station. Is there anyone else that want to speak before we close out tonight?
I believe we have one more caller.
Okay, go ahead, caller. Announce yourself.
Area code 678-914.
All right, go ahead, caller, announce yourself.
Hello.
Hello, are you there? Go ahead, announce yourself.
Hello, my name is Faith.
How are you doing, Faith?
I'm doing awesome. I just like to say that I think y'all are doing a nice thing. And I also would like to say that we as black people, and I'll piggyback on what she said, all lives matter. And all lives do matter. But until we can come together as
exactly.
a group of people and stop being... When one crab trying to come out the bucket, keep putting it down in the bucket. And what are we going to do about the police brutality? Are we going to stand up or are we just going to talk? And I want to piggyback, too, on the kids. I'm an infant teacher, and I work with kids. And I feel like it's a blessing for me to be the second person to impart in their life beside their mom when they drop them off to me. But what I have realized is, because I didn't understand when I was going to school and I heard my teacher say, yeah, your parents send you to school and want us to take care of them. See, I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. I mean... Life is hectic, and I know people have to work, and people have to pay bills, and people have to do all that. But what we have to realize, in the midst of us doing all that, and we are tired, and when we get our kids, they don't understand that we're tired. They don't understand what was going on. They just happy to see their parents. And a lot of times, parents, they are very busy, and I understand that because me being a parent, I'm busy too, and also me being a person who worked in a Christian academy establishment, I don't know why, but our children are fighting very early. You can tell the ones that the parents take time out with, and you can tell the ones that parents don't take that time out with. And also, we have to be careful how we speak to our children, how we act in front of our children. We have to be a leader and lead them in the right mm-hmm. direction. And a lot of times, me working in the establishment that I work in, sometimes when you tell parents about their kids, they don't want to hear it. But we are the ones that have the kids most of the day. I can say at least 8 hours, 10 hours. But once you get the kids as parents, by you've been working and you're so tired, the only thing most and some parents do, they pick them up, they feed them, they bathe them, they put them to sleep, and then they drop them off the next day. What time have they spent with that child?
That definitely is an issue that I think a lot of parents that are dealing with that actually work and not the time that they need to with their children, and as using these schools as a permanent daycare for them and not putting in their time. And you can, like you said, you can tell the ones that are actually putting in the time with their kids because they react and know a lot more because the parents are actually taking the time when they get home to go over stuff and teach them certain things than the ones that are not spending that time with their kids and stuff. And it's bad because of the fact that, like they said, it takes a village to raise a child. But what do you do when the parents get mad at the village when we try to correct the child for misbehaving? That's another issue that we have to address. Parents, you know, saying, you know, these kids got to be chastised. They got to learn what is right and what is wrong. You know, if their parents aren't telling them, you know, we as a society have to teach them. It's better for us to tell them while they're young than the police to have to tell them when they're older, because it's not going to be a pretty sight. And I appreciate your comments. Do you have anything else you want to add to that, Ms. Faye?
No, I just think that y'all are doing a great job and continue your work. And I like the fact that you all work in different communities, and I stand for new order.
All right. We definitely appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody that called in. And I like to give a thanks out and a shout out to the founder, Jill Rose, and all of the New Order team that called in and gave us great ideas and situations that we, you know, we can think about tonight as, you know, as far as trying to come up with solutions to better our community. I always remember that Real Talk with New Order is on every third Tuesday at 8 p.m. Call-in number is 929-477-1755. And if you have any issues that you want us to actually check into, please feel free to give us a call at 1-800-346-5138. And we're going to go ahead and close out with the statement, not I, but we, which means that it's not a single thing that one of us can do, but all of us together collectively can make a change. And let us be the one that society and for generations to come to say that they fought back and they made a change. Let us be the one that they write about, because we don't just want the 40 acres and a mule. We want the whole planet back. And we, like I said, once again, I'd like to thank DTK Radio and Knowledge for allowing us to present Real Talk with New Order. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed night.
All right, you too. Everybody have a blessed night.
He's proud.